Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We thank you for joining us. I know you have a busy schedule, but you know the thing is, what we try to do here is promote people, showcase people, and get out their passion and their purpose and their dreams to the world. And that's what I pass here to do. We just enjoy when you come to us. Whenever we come on, you support us. And we want to give you a hand clap for taking time out just to share Good Deeds information and to make us international. So we thank you to our supporters. Now today we're talking on a subject that everyone can say they have experienced. They cannot say they have not experienced having the F word. What I call the F word is fear, F-E-A-R. This is something everybody can say, from the president down to anybody, whatever level, whatever status you've been in, you have experienced fear sometime in your life. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. The word fear is to be afraid of something. And it could be anything, something, someone, to expect or worry about something. To be afraid about something. That is what fear is about. And we're going to tackle this today because we need to actually tell people that they don't have fear. And we have a wonderful, wonderful young lady that's here with us today that's going to help us to see how fear has influenced us and to realize that the journey from fear to love is what shorter than you think. It's amazing when we put our minds to things that we actually can accomplish things more than we know. So here on Good Deeds, we have an awesome young lady, Miss Susan Gauthier. And I hope I'm pronouncing my name right. She's going to correct me when she come on because we didn't get a chance to talk in the chat room here. But she's going to correct me of her pronouncing her last name. And Susan, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm okay. Welcome to Good Deeds.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, correct me. How do you pronounce your last name? And I do apologize for that.
Oh, you were close. It's Gauthier.
Gauthier, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. I think I put a T in there, but I have a warm heart. I really do. That was incorrect. Well, you know, I give you a hand clap or a praise, really, of you tackling this awesome topic. But of course, you live through it, so you actually can tell us how we can overcome fear, how we can actually help other people that's in that situation. And the thing is not to look back. So that's the important thing, to move forward.
Exactly.
That situation.
Moving forward. Yeah.
But let's start off, if you don't mind, let's start off just telling us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, and I grew up on the northwest side there. I went to local schools, and I went to then I went to a magnet high school, Whitney Young, and from there I went on to Southern Illinois University, and I was majoring in social work. I moved to Arizona, and I graduated with my bachelor's in social work, and then got my master's in social work. So, I mean, that's kind of my little bit of my background. And I don't know if you talked at all about some of the book and the trauma and what occurred to me when I was younger, or if you discussed any of that yet, because I got on a little bit late. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Now, I actually, if you don't mind, you can share what you want in regards of your journey and your experience.
Well, I wrote the book, The Journey from Fear to Love is Shorter Than You Think. And part of the reason I wrote it is it came out of a trauma. It kind of bounced off this trauma. It's not about the trauma. It's more about how I healed from it. But before I was 3 years old and I lived on the northwest side in Chicago, I was sexually abused by a 16-year-old neighbor boy. And so I went through my life for many, many years with a lot of different fears that I didn't really understand, you know, why I had these fears. And they were more extreme, not like, you know, fears that normal little kids are afraid of the dark. I was absolutely petrified, terrified, you know, thought I was dying if I were put into the dark or anything like that. And I kind of created some OCD-type behaviors and different things. As I went through my life, I started to recognize that there were some things that I was doing, and out of fear, that I was in a lot of fear. And when I was at 19 and in school at Southern Illinois University, that's where I started to really want to heal, because I was in a lot of physical pain. I was to the point where my back and body hurt so bad that secretly and privately in my own mind, I thought, well, maybe I'm dying from some kind of terminal illness. There's something really wrong. I'm only 19. And I started to seek help for the physical stuff that was going on. I couldn't even walk a straight line. I wasn't sleeping well. I was uncomfortable all the time. So that's kind of where I started to start seeking help. And I started with just working on the physical stuff. But it started to, as I was taking courses in social work, I took a class. One was on flashbacks. So I started to get more information and started to have more insight as to where some of the stuff was coming from and where some of my fears were coming from. And it all started to relate back to the trauma that had occurred when I was very, very young.
That's powerful. It's so much information you just said right there. But the first thing you said that was so powerful, and I feel the same way. It doesn't matter what details, you know, specific details of what you went through. The thing is healing from it.
Yeah, exactly.
I commend you for saying that, and you said that off the top, and that's, everybody needs to realize that, because it does, and I'm not being mean by saying this, I really, maybe a lack of a better word, it doesn't matter what it is. The point is you need to actually go through the process of healing from it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, otherwise you're just holding yourself back from having, you know, a wonderful life that you can have. So, and we all have a past, and we all have stories and baggage and things that, you know, we could carry with us forever, or we could decide, you know, I want to take control of my life and I want to have a life that I feel I deserve. You know, we're all worthy of having a wonderful, beautiful life. We are deserving and worthy of that. So, you know, at 19, I started to kind of put the pieces together by starting to look at why am I hurting so bad. A little bit later when I moved to Arizona was where I started to put more pieces together. And when my daughter was two, and I was at that time I was 27, that was the real big awakening moment when I realized that this trauma was still affecting my life. And you know, I'd been on a path for a long time if I wanted to have a healthy, happy life. So I was always searching for a way to be better and better and better. So at two, when she was two, that's when I started, she was the age I was when I was abused. I started to have memories of the abuse apparently, and the physical stuff. I started to get sinus infections, one right after another, and I'd never had one before in my life. And I then sought out more help because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's where I started to get more information on that this was still related to the abuse that had occurred when I was so young.
Wow. That's interesting there. Wow. So when she hit that, if you will, that age that it occurred to you, that's when you somewhat relived it, but, you know, start having physical, you know, signs like sinus, like you said.
Yeah, it was the memories, and your body will hold on to memories. So those memories started to affect me again, and then I got help from a practitioner using one of the techniques that I use. And that's where, when I went into his office that day, kind of waving my imaginary white flag, saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I surrender. I want to be well. That's with the technique. One of the techniques I talk about is called BEST. It's bioenergetic synchronization technique. The practitioner started working with me on that day, And he gave me two words that came up. One, it was sexual abuse, and he gave me an age between 0 and 5. And I was kind of mad at him. I was pretty angry because I'd never told him anything about what had happened to me. So I kind of, what the heck? How did you know any of this? And he took me into a private room to finish the process. And that's where, with using the process of a best, you're clearing out all that old baggage at the subconscious level, clearing stuff out. So we did the work that needed to be done, cleared all the interference out. And after that day, I never had another sinus infection in my life. And also, I used to have a reoccurring nightmare. And that was pretty much almost every night, blood-curdling screams, you know, just terrified, couldn't breathe. The nightmare also went away. So that was when I really realized, you know, what that fear had done to me in my life.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm just curious myself. So with, you know, and I'm not putting a limit on how many. So when you actually went in and said you surrendered, when your counselor, the person that you confided in, you were pretty much, when you released it and went through his technique, the best technique, that's when you were able to release yourself from all the things that had happened to you.
That was when it was completely 100%. Yeah, I would say that's when it was totally released. Because I'd been doing, you know, work on that from the time I was 19 on, realizing. But that, like I said, when my daughter was 2, all that stuff was triggered again. So that was pretty much the end of clearing all that out so that I could move on and have a life that I wanted to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing you pointed out so well here, it is a process. The best analogy that comes to mind is some people say they go turkey, when they stop smoking or stop drinking or something like that. But, you know, the thing is, in reality, a lot of our situations, the things that we in, the difficult situations we have to overcome, even if someone had a death in the family or something like that, and your process will be different for somebody else. But the thing is, we need to start the process like you did at age 19 so you can actually, you know, come through that process. And like you said, and we all want to enjoy life. So, wow.
Yeah, I agree. It is a process. Yeah, and it's a process, and it's different for everybody. Everybody has to find, you know, what resonates with them, what's going to work for them. But the biggest thing they need to do is start to pay attention in their own lives to how they're feeling. You know, if you're not feeling well, you're not feeling happy, healthy, all of those things, or you're not healthy, then start paying attention to where is this coming from and why is this happening. And it's important. Otherwise, you know, you're not participating in your own life. And that's what I think at 19 I was starting to do, was really starting to participate in my own life and say, I want a better life. This isn't, there's got to be more than this.
Wow. Yes, I agree. I agree with that. But you know, okay, you had that, we'll say, a light bulb experience that you released it and then you were able to move forward. What's the next step? What happened after that? Because I know we're going to dive right into this this wonderful book that you're telling us about. But when you released, how did that change pretty much your whole environment?
Well, it changed me definitely as a person. I know that you know, some things, like I became more confident in myself. Mm-hmm. I was a lot more willing to go out and try things and realize that I could have and do, you know, things that I wanted to. Yeah, it totally changed everything. I mean, it released so much of the carrying the fears around with me. It released so much of that I was a lot more gung-ho about living and having a life and feeling so much better and knowing that there was hope, you know, that I could change. If my life wasn't going the way that I wanted it to, that I could change it, and I could start with changing the way that I thought, how I, you know, looking at how I was feeling and then looking at what have I been thinking, and I could start with changing my thoughts, and I could control what I could control in my own life. Like, I had choices, some of those things. It kind of woke me. to realize that I had a lot more to say about how my life was going to go. Mm-hmm. I wasn't stuck, you know, that this happened when I was three. That happened when I was 3 years old, and so that's just the way it is. You know, you're stuck with that. I realized that it didn't have to be that way.
Mm. Yeah, that's powerful. Like I've heard someone say, and I don't remember who said it. They said when you look in the rearview mirror, it's the for you to you know, that's what's back. You pass from that. that the car is going forward, and that you need to not go back where you were.
And yeah, so you got to keep moving forward. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. So let's you know, I know everybody's wait. So let's dive in. The journey from fear to love. And you say it's shorter than you think. Now we got to dive into that now.
Well, I wrote the book, and like I said, it kind of came out of the trauma, but I kind of consider that trauma was like my Tigger bounce. It bounced me right to where I am today. And so the book has to do with the healing steps that I took to get to where I am. And it's the reason I wrote that it's shorter than you think is because it's that plays such a huge part in what kind of life you're going to have and how your life is going to go. What thoughts are you having and what are you putting out there? So I wanted to let people know that they had a lot more to say about how things were going in their life, but you can't necessarily focus on all your thoughts because we have so many in a day, but you can focus on your feelings. If you're feeling good, if you're feeling bad, whatever it is, sick or well, then you can start thinking about, well, what have I been thinking prior to this? And then changing those thoughts. And you can do that, you know, several different ways. Some people like to use meditation or some people use, I call it having an anchoring thought. So when you're having a bad day or you're not in a good mode and your thoughts are going downhill, if you can find a thought that always makes you feel warm and fuzzy and happy, the birth of a child, a puppy, a place that you visited that you know, every time you think about it, it makes you feel good, that you find a thought like that that you can always pull out to help you get back on track with thinking more an appreciation about your life and a more positively about what's happening in your life. So that's basically what the book is about. It's about not being a victim and not making any excuses, not blaming others for your circumstances, but taking control of your life and taking your power back.
Now, we all can take a lesson of what you're saying in regards to taking our power back. When I actually, everybody, she will give us the contact information. When I read your book, I saw myself. I actually, when I was in, I think, high school, I think, I had a real bad accident. And pretty much they thought I was, you know, wasn't going to make it. But I could hear my mother talking. I could hear her talking. And I just wouldn't, you know, let go. But it was a long process. And I actually was supposed to be in the band that year as the band director. I mean, as the person that actually is the leader in the band. And I couldn't do that because I hurt my leg. So, but anyway, long story short, you have to believe that you're, because this person hit me and left the scene, and I kept saying that I was the victim of this. I kept being, you know, saying that now my life is nothing because I can't be the leader in this activity that I'm in. And I said, oh, my God, see, you in my head, what I went through in high school, and it took me, honestly, I'm being very transparent, it took me a while to get my confidence back, my self-esteem, that I was beautiful, that I can enjoy life. It took a while because certain, you know, my face was injured and, you know, I had to get, you know, plastic surgery and you know, orthopedic procedures. But anyway, I could reach in and I said, I was pulling you, Susan. I said, this is what I went through. I felt like a victim, you know, and I felt that I was didn't have any power. But, I mean, I really learned a lot from your book because it made me, because, you know, I think I'm a very confident person, but when I was able to relate to what you're saying in your book, I said, wow, you know, because you still sometimes think about your past and what, oh, why do I go through this? But, you know, like you just said, you go through it to help other people. So I commend you. I mean, your book is easy to read. It actually, I could tell you were being very transparent, and you were actually, you have written this book to help other people.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was totally my intent. And, you know, I was so young when the trauma occurred to me. You were older, so you had a little more insight as to what had occurred to you and what had happened. And when being younger, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing for me. In some ways, it might have been good because I didn't really understand what had happened. I remembered what happened, and it was a life-threatening situation, and my parents were able to confirm, you know, what had occurred and everything. But in a way, it might have been better that I didn't really understand. I don't know, because I went through, like what you were talking about. I mean, I didn't have good self-esteem. I didn't feel good about myself, all those different things, but I had no idea why. And it wasn't until I was older when I started to put that together and understand it. But it is about realizing that everything that happens in your life happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. It's for you. So like I say in the book, my WTF is what the for instead of the other WTF that you hear so commonly. It's what the for. What did this happen for? What is this for in my life? And, yeah, I have to believe that that trauma took me down a path, and look where I ended up. I went right into social work and doing social work, and I worked for Child Protective Services as a young person. I mean, of all things, I put myself right in smack in the middle of that. So I do believe that it happened for me in the way that, I mean, I took the path in my life to go out and help other people. And I have a very, very good understanding of what it is to go through some kind of a trauma and have to and come out on the other end, you know, with in taking that path from fear and ending up in the space more of love. And, you know, we're all human, so we're not going to always be in a space of love because we're living a human life. So sometimes we'll falter, but what I've tried to do in the book is show through the different steps I took and give some steps that you can use, tools and techniques that are easy to help bring you back and put you back on the path toward love and keep you more on that side of that path instead of toward fear.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that, because that's what I wanted to talk. In your book, you did an awesome job of doing the step, like you just said, the step-by-step things you did in the two. Because a lot of books we have, especially memoirs, and I'll just be honest, they tell the story in a way that you really can't sometimes identify, if you will, the steps that they went through, because they tell the story so nice, but you actually give us a roadmap that we can actually go through, and not just the situation you was in, but any difficult situation, those things can apply as well. So that's what makes your book so powerful with that, because we get, you know, and I hate to say it, we in this world, we won't, you know, order our meal and go around to the window and we want it that quick, but we do. We are a world that we want step-by-step process, that we need extra guides. And the wonderful guide that you've done is from experience. It's, you know, people always say you can get a lot from reading a book, but if you've experienced it, you actually put, you know, I hate to say the word expert, but you are because you've been through it, but it puts another layer, I guess, what I'm saying, because you've actually been through that. And, of course, you know, with you going in social work and helping people, you have both layers now that you actually have experienced it and then also in the book. So, I commend you for that because, like I said earlier, not too many books we have out there that gives you step-by-step, okay, I've been through this, but this step-by-step and tools that you can use.
Yeah, I didn't want to just tell my sad story. I wanted to tell the happy ending. You know, this happened, and everybody has something, you know, that you could dwell on, or you could become a victim about. I mean, everybody could find something in their life that they could, you have a choice. You could become a victim, or you can become victorious and overcome that and move forward. And my goal is to teach people how to live more in love and feel and know that they have the power within themselves to make the changes that they want. You know, I think the biggest fear, honestly, the biggest fear that people have is their own power, their own power within their own being to make changes in their life and to take more control of your life to have a life that you want. And, I mean, I understand why that would be a big fear, because I remember when I first realized that I had the power within myself to make those changes. And at first it was elating. I was excited. I thought, oh, great, freedom, and I can unload all this stuff, and this is wonderful. But the next thought was, oh, crap, that means I can't blame my mom and dad. I can't blame my husband, my children. I can't blame anybody else for anything going on in my life. I have to be 100% accountable. And that's scary when you take, you know, when you decide I'm 100% accountable for my own life. It's easier sometimes to stay the victim, because being a victim, you know, you have an excuse. You can use that. Mm-hmm. And also being a victim, I think sometimes you feel like you have some power, because if you play that victim card, then others will maybe do what you want them to do. You can kind of use it to manipulate, to get things that you want. And when you give that up because you realize you're 100% accountable, Dr. Emoto, in his, when you give that up, then it can be a little bit scary. And Dr. Emoto writes in his book, The Hidden Messages in Water, he writes that human beings vibrate at 570 trillion times per second, which means we're phenomenally powerful and we have incredible potential. But most of us deny that. You know, we don't want to believe that. It's like I said, sometimes just easier to blame other people and to play that victim and to make excuses or whatever. But I'm telling you, once you realize you have the power and the ability to change your life, you're never going to want to turn back, because it really is freedom. That's where freedom is.
Wow. And then, you know, when you actually have freedom, when you feel free, you actually can move and into your purpose. Because if, you know, like, you're not in your purpose, that means somebody, you're not helping someone else get in their purpose. So the thing is, a lot of times when we get in our purpose, it's you know, sometimes it's from experience, positive, negative, that we've been through in our past. But by you having this platform, by you telling us what you've been through, that's actually helping some, I mean, male or female that has been in a somewhat of a similar situation, and they don't feel like they have to, and I'll be real here, they don't have to hurt themselves. They don't have to hurt somebody else, that they actually can get help in that area.
Absolutely.
Wow. So you have a huge platform that you really are taking advantage of. You really are helping people, because a lot of people have been through somewhat of a similar situation. Like you said, they have chose to go back to the victim instead of being free.
Yeah, and I mean, there's nobody, I don't think there's anyone that doesn't have something that they can, you know, say this has held me back or whatever. It's all relative, you know, to you and I.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, well, but that person's situation is worse than your situation and whatever, but it's all relative. It's all that anyone knows is what they know about their own lives. So what may seem like something minor to somebody else, if that's their hurdle that they have to get over and that's their thing that's holding them back and that's their baggage, it doesn't matter what mm-hmm. anyone else thinks. It's their own experience. So it could be something that seems very small to you or me, but for them, you know, that's a big thing to get over. So, you know, I try not to pass any kind of judgment on anyone in regard to any of their stuff. It's their stuff. The main thing is that they learn how to take the steps to move away from that fear and move down the path and move and live closer to love. And I think the most important thing that a person can do to get themselves down that path faster is they need to learn how to love themselves first. You know, and that sounds like it's super easy, and it's not, but if you're out there and you're doing all this people-pleasing stuff and you think you're putting out love, you're putting out love, but if you haven't loved yourself first, whatever you're doing to help others is not truly coming from a place of love. You have to take care of you first, you know, simple things. I've raised 4 kids. I made sure that I exercised and I ate right and I took care of me And I did that before I took care of them so that I could do a better job. I was loving myself and taking care of myself first, and I was a better mother, a better wife, and a better friend. Maya Angelou, who just made her transition, had a quote, and I love it, that she said, "I do not trust people who don't love themselves and yet tell me I love you." She said, "There's an African saying, which is, be careful when a naked person offers you a shirt." And my belief is there's a lot of naked people out there offering a lot of shirts because they haven't truly loved themselves first, yet they're trying to put it out, or at least act like they are. And the problem with that is, you know, people pleasers are a good example of that. After a while, you keep doing that and you haven't truly loved yourself first, you're going to become bitter and angry and resentful. All this fear, that's all fear. That's on the side of fear, all those fear feelings. And that's not going to be healthy or good for you. So you've got to start with loving yourself first. And then when you do that, when you put that love out, because you've loved yourself first, that love is real love. You're truly shining that light out there, and other people are going to just be attracted to it, and it's going to be contagious, and they're going to pick that love up from you, and they're going to run with it. And wouldn't that be wonderful if we were all doing that instead of offering, you know, naked people offering shirts?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. Oh, wow. You have said so many golden nuggets, I mean, things that we could actually apply to our life right now. Oh, wow, Susan, you're very powerful. Mm.
Thank you.
Glad
you are
that
too.
You have the courage. You know, because like we're saying, I'm glad you have the courage to actually speak it. That's the thing. Because a lot of people like you said, people pleaser that sugarcoat things, and we're past that. We're way past people, you know, sugarcoating things. We need to know the truth so we can actually affect our lives and do something better.
Right, exactly. And you're doing the same thing with your show, with this radio show. That's, you know, that's what I'm saying. We're all in this together. So we just need to spread that love, and we need to embrace our own power and live in love. We need to know that we can do this. So
that's right. Ooh, you powerful. But please, you know, time goes by so fast. And, you know, most media people, we can talk. And we can have a story. We can talk. But please give us your contact information of how we can, of course, get your book and how we can connect with you in regards to booking you for speaking engagements and how we can support you on the social media network.
Sure. The book, again, is called The Journey from Fear to Love is Shorter Than You Think. And my website is journeyfromfeartolove.com, journeyfromfeartolove.com. And the book is on sale there on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can get it as an e-book. And that's where you can contact me through that. All my Facebook, Twitter, everything's right on the website. It's kind of one-stop shopping. Can I end with a quote from Maya Angelou? Is that okay?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
And because, like I said, I think loving yourself is the most important thing. And since she just did make her transition, and I just admired her so much, so this is to honor her and to also make my point that this is the most important thing you need to do. She said, "Love builds up the broken wall and straightens the crooked path. Love keeps the stars in the firmament and imposes rhythm on the ocean tides. Each of us is created of it, and I suspect each of us was created for it." And I think that's what we all need to remember. In my opinion, we came from love. That's where we came from. We came from a place of love. We are to be here on this planet, and we're supposed to be living in a space of love. So embrace your power and live in love.
Susan, thank you so much for taking time out of being here with Good Deeds.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the invitation. Sorry if I got on a little bit late. I didn't mean to have that happen.
Oh, no. You're perfect. Perfect. You know, things are worth waiting on. And we have experienced an awesome time and powerful time that we actually have so many notes that we got to go back over this and listen to your show again so we can apply those things to our life. Because like you just said, if we're free, we actually can, I mean, everything will be better. You know, with me being in the medical field as well, you know, your blood pressure will be better. You'll be less stressful, mm-hmm. and things will actually, you will enjoy life. And that's the most important thing, is to enjoy life.
Yes,
so we
absolutely.
Thank you,
that's
Susan.
What we're here for. Yes.
Thank you so much. If you need good deeds or anything, please contact us as well.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, you guys, you know this is Good Deeds, and, you know, I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. Our goal here, of course, is to educate, empower, and, of course, give you information so you can make a wise decision to make a better life. You know, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.